3 days ago, after taking a brief look at today's gospel reading, I went for a morning jog. I spent maybe 10 minutes reviewing how expert theologians recommended preaching this text of Matthew 10, but to be honest, not much in there really hit home. Sometimes, for me at least, jogging on the open, unpaved rural backroads of Loxahatchee helps to get the creative juices flowing. While jogging, two thoughts kept going through my mind. First, the word welcome is used 6 times in today's gospel reading. Surely there must be a more concise way to drive home this point. This suggests the writer of Matthew could have used a better editor. I mean, really, using one word 6 times in less than 2 sentences? Or, more likely, especially since this scripture is directly attributed to the words of Jesus, perhaps this concept of welcome and the importance of it and how we welcome others is a notion that Christ truly wants us to fully grasp. And the other reason, or the other thought going through my head while jogging, it was hot. It was really, really hot. I'd started the jog right before 10 a.m., and that was way too late to avoid the South Florida summer heat. Temperatures were already in the high 80s. Within minutes, I was dripping with sweat. 2 miles into the jog, on a route I've run dozens of times before without incident, I notice a dog, a big dog, barking and running right at me. Oh no. And then I hear shouting. It seems the dog had gotten out of the yard and the owner was trying to get them back. As the closer I notice, it's a pit bull. That's a breed that, stereotypically speaking at least, you just don't want to mess with. At least not without knowing more about that particular dog. Now, every so often you'll hear stories of pit bulls attacking runners, and that possibility definitely crossed my mind. But I reminded myself quickly that not all pit bulls are vicious animals. In fact, most of them aren't. My brother Clayton and his wife Brianna, they have a pit bull as a pet. His name, fittingly, is Tank. Tank. Big dog, right? Our family visited my brother's family in Baltimore during Christmas 2012. I have this distinct memory of being a bit worried about having our 2.5-year-old daughter, Hannah, be under the same roof as a pit bull. But then we got to know this particular dog. I had the chance to see firsthand Tank interact with Hannah. Watched as she petted him. Watched as she joyfully licked her from head to toe. Big dogs have big tongues, it turns out. And when they use those big tongues to show love to the humans in their life, well, it's just fun to be part of. Hannah and Tank got along so well, she calls him Tanky, that my wife Kathy gifted her this stuffed animal to remember him by. This is it. Now, Kathy looked for a stuffed toy pit bull all over the local mall. She couldn't find one. We're not sure why. So we settled on a Basset Hound toy to represent Tanky instead. You can see the Christmas hat here, right? Yeah, a little bit of a Christmas theme, too. And since this time, my brother and his wife have welcomed their own child into their home, too. And from that, I've had the chance to watch their newborn baby boy, now toddler, also play with Tanky and lovingly get licked all over as well. All that is to say, those stories of runners being attacked by pit bulls and my own positive experiences with Tanky, the big dog that Hannah loves, those memories were all flying through my head at a rapid pace as I continued to watch this pit bull running at me while jogging, still just 3 days ago. After thinking through the situation as best I could, in real time, I slowed down, stopped jogging, stood there, motionless, hands to my side. I'd heard to take that approach from somewhere, that a dog's instinct is to chase. And if you don't give them anything to chase, and don't appear to be afraid, and don't threaten them yourself, well, often they'll get bored. And that's exactly what happened. After sniffing at me for what seemed like an eternity, but was probably closer to, maybe 15 seconds, the big dog lost interest and instead jaunted over to sniff some grass and nearby canal water. This is Loxahatchee, of course. Shortly after that, the owner came over right up to me and shook my hand, apologizing profusely. "I am so sorry," he said. "My gate was open for just a few seconds to let a truck in. And Sheriff," that's the name of the dog, of course, "ran right out. He just loves to run." And that line, that he just loves to run, it reminded me of other neighbors of ours who would run their dogs while following them in their classic Volkswagen convertible. They like to call that redneck dog walking. Their term, not mine. Perhaps that's a story for another time. Anyways, "No worries," I replied to the big dog owner. "I've encountered all sorts of dogs out here, and well, yours is one of the good ones, and that's entirely true, at least for this runner." We then talked, me and this new neighbor. We talked of neighborhood happenings, grass-cutting schedules, and a Tomahawk flight he took in 2007. That was from an accident that happened right on the street I live on, two short blocks from our home. The big dog owner then offered me a bottle of water, which sounded great, and we began walking to his garage to get it. Along the way, he shared what he does for a living, things like the mowing of lawns, the operating of big machinery, and the creating of screened porch enclosures. Manly stuff. Cool stuff. And the guy, he cursed up a storm, which I always appreciate when meeting new people. Always. You might imagine why. When he asked me what I did for a living, and I replied, "I'm a pastor," he gave a bit of a sheepish look. I could almost see him mentally retracing our conversation. "No worries," again I reply. "I'm one of the good ones, at least when it comes to that. I can drop a choice four-letter word on occasion, too. It's all good." I then realized in that moment that this big dog owner was helping me overcome some of my own stereotypes. Perhaps in some small way I could help him broaden his own notion of what a pastor is and how they act. We then proceeded to walk into his garage, and he pulled out that promised bottle of water right out of an icy cooler. Now, for a runner who had just started a jog in weather likely too hot to safely jog in, and who had just been run at by a pit bull unexpectedly, well, that's about as welcoming can get. As I look around his garage, I notice some cans of Coca-Cola sitting alongside a half-empty bottle of rum, and I smile. I, too, love a good rum and Coke. The icy cold bottle of water now in hand, which really did hit the spot, I thank the big dog owner and head out to complete the jog. While jogging back home, trying to process this chance encounter, I realized that this wasn't just some random big dog owner. And this wasn't just a neighbor newly met. This is someone I like. Someone I could share a rum and Coke with. Someone I could talk with about the challenges our world faces. Maybe we could even try and solve a few of those real-world challenges together. This is someone I could call friend. And none of that could have happened if I hadn't been open to get to know the man behind this big dog. Earlier in Matthew chapter 10, before all that talk of the importance of welcome, Jesus talks about big dogs too, albeit in a bit of a different way. Matthew 10 is the first chapter in this gospel where all 12 disciples have been called and then named. The remainder of the chapter consists almost entirely of the sayings of Jesus, speaking directly to the disciples. You could almost think of this as an early huddle, with Jesus' coach saying something akin to, "Gather round, team. I've got a mission for you. Here's how we're going to do it." Now, part of that playbook Christ refers to in Matthew 10 contains three little words from verse 26. Have no fear. The next several verses after that delve into why not. We matter deeply to God, it says. If God cares for the sparrows, then how much more value does God place on us? God knows minute details about us, down to the number of hairs on our head, which for me is beginning to decline. Oh dear. With such an all-caring and all-knowing God, what on earth do we have to fear? It's this fear, in many ways, that keeps us from one another. and keeps us from welcoming one another. That's what Christ implores in the name of our Creator. And in this society, where fear really does sell, following those three little words, "have no fear," can seem downright daunting. The concepts of fear-based marketing can be seen all over the place, with marketers trying to sell you home security systems, car alarms, computer software solutions designed to keep the bad guys out. And you'll see it in our politics. Yes, our politics, where fear of the other, both who they are and what they stand for, is the common currency of our political identification and our political dialogue, and perhaps our lack of dialogue. This notion of moving past a place of fear in our modern times, well, that's a fairly radical concept. But there it is, in Scripture, those three words, "have no fear," staring back at us, a precursor to how and who we choose to welcome. What do you fear? Said differently, what big dogs do you need to make peace with? You've heard one of my fears. As a runner on occasion, I fear big dogs. Kathy and I have always had terriers, little yippy 15-pound dogs. They're cute. Dogs we playfully name Salsa and Chips. Not Tank or Sheriff. I honestly hadn't had much experience around big dogs until recently. Perhaps that explains some of this big dog fear of mine. But the big dogs in our world come in many, many forms, both canine and otherwise. Do you have a social fear, like fear of embarrassment, fear of looking stupid, fear of screwing up? While those may seem small to some, for others, those fears can be very big dogs. Or do you fear the big dog of race? Those dogs come in many colors, be they black, white, brown, or all the hues in between. Or is it the big dog of nationality? We use words like American, Mexican, Russian, and Syrian, sometimes standing behind one big dog at the expense of another. Or perhaps is it the big dog of religion? Those big dogs go by the name of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, just to name a few. Whatever your particular big dog may be, I have a suggestion. Get to know the man, or the woman, or the person behind that big dog, and then welcome them, and be welcomed by them. For when we do, we model Christ, and are rewarded with so much more than a cold drink of water. In this act of welcome, we bring the kingdom of God to earth. And in no small way, in this act of radical welcome, we catch a glimpse of heaven. Amen.